This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abba'im, welcome everyone. We continue with our Shiurim, Sefer Bamidbar. The Shiurim on Sefer Bamidbar are again graciously sponsored by our dear friend Dr. Zakheim, Umishpachta Le Nishmas, Rav Shlem Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le Ilay Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tovia Halevi. We got an Eden, Tehmin Uchasam, the Neshama Shem and Aliyah, be Melissa Yashem for the whole family, Abi Askel Tzedek. Shiurim are also sponsored by my dear friend Rabbi Isaac Yosilovsky, Lila Nishmas' father, Shavsi ben Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, whose yard site was Tesvav Sivan. Tonight's shiur is dedicated by my dear friend and neighbor, the eminent Dr. Menachem Fuchs and his family of Tamidei Chachamim, Lila Nishmas, Dr. Fuchs's father, Yehuda ben Yeshaya Halevi, the Gan Eden Tehmin Uchasi, he should be a Melitz Yosher for his whole family, for Simchus, Bekarov and Nachas, Adbias Gol Tzedek. So we want to thank everyone who participated in our campaign. Rangsa was very successful. And the campaign concluded officially on, when was it? Monday night. And Baruch Hashem, we made the goal. So someone called me today that they didn't participate yet. Could they still contribute? And after a long deliberation, we said, yeah, it's okay. We allowed it to still come in. So if anybody did not yet participate, we're going to make a special dispensation to allow continued. We're actually in campaign lingo, we're in the bonus round. Okay, Parshat Korah. Here we go. There's a pasuk in Parshat Vezois HaBracha. Just in case you didn't know, Vezois HaBracha is not this week's Parsha. It says, Vayihi Bishurun Melech. And he was king in Yeshurun. He was king in Yeshurun. Who's he? Who's the he? Vayihi Bishurun Melech. And he was king in Yeshurun. So simply refers to God. Refers to Ribbono Shel'olam. Vayihi Bishurun Melech refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God is the king in Yeshurun. However, the Ibn Ezra has a different explanation. The Ibn Ezra says, what does it mean, Vayihi Bishurun Melech? It refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu was a melech. Aside from the fact that he was Rabbeinu, he was also a melech, he was a king. Vayihi Bishurun Melech. That's why the Ramban says Moshe Rabbeinu made the chatzotzros, the trumpets, because he's a melech, he has a din of a melech. And the Gemara in Zvachim says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked for machli. He wanted machlos. And God didn't give it to him. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu came to the burning bush, Hashem said, Al tikrav haloim, don't come haloim. And the Gemara says, Ein haloim ela malchus. Like David HaMelech says, who am I that you brought me to haloim? So Hashem tells Moshe, don't come haloim. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Moshe was a melech. So the Gemara says, lo yu lezaroi kamar. When Hashem said, don't come close to malchus, it means I can't give it to your children, but you yourself are a melech. And in past years, on Parshas Shemois, we discussed at length the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, if you want, you could look in the humble Sefer on Shemois. We have two Mamorim on the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Today we're going to talk about a very important detail about Moshe Rabbeinu's Malchus that is relevant to this week's Parsha. Now we know as a Melech, you're the commander-in-chief. What do you call somebody who rebels against the king? He's Moired B'Machlis. He's a rebel. What do we know about someone who is Moired B'Machlis? So if you look in Parak Aleph of Yehoshua, it says, Kalish Asher Yamrez Picha. Any man that rebels against you, Yehoshua, V'lo Yishmas Dvarech, and does not listen to your words, V'chol Asher Tetzavenu, whatever you command, you must, he's going to die. The punishment of Moired B'Machlis is not... It's not you get arrested, and then they put handcuffs on you, and then they let you out 10 minutes later. No, that's in New York City. But if you rebel against the king, that's it. You're done. You're done. Well, apparently Yehoshua was considered at least the authority that if anyone rebels against him, they're Moired B'Malchus, and they would die. In fact, there are many Gemaras and Shas that talk about the punishment of someone who rebels against the king is death. Moired B'Malchus is Misa. What kind of Misa? Usually Misa B'Sayef, by the sword. For example, the Gemara in Shabbos says that David killed Uriah Hachiti with the sword of Ammon. Gemara says, what does that mean with the sword of Ammon? Just like if you kill Ammon, there's no liability, so too for David to kill Uriah, there's no liability. My taima, moirid b'malchus hava. He was a rebel. He rebelled against the king. And anyone who rebels against the king is chayiv misa. That's the well-known rule. Moirid b'malchus is chayiv misa. So I came across a question last night, driving to the graduation. I didn't know what we were going to talk about, but I saw a question, and Hashem gave a matana for this week. The question is like this. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu kill Korach? Because Korach is a Moirid v'malchus. If there was anyone who rebelled against the authority, it's Korach. So Korach is a Moirid v'malchus. So Moshe should have went over to Korach, said, Korach, Shalom Aleichem, take out his sword, and chopped off his head. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do that. He killed the Mitzri in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu he's 20 feet tall. If Moshe Rabbeinu flicks you, you're going to hit the moon. So Moshe should have killed Korach. He's a Moirid v'malchus. That's the question. Who did I see ask this question? None other than the Chassam Sofer himself in a tshuva. Why isn't Korach a Moirid v'malchus? What?
It means to be a psalm. A person's
L'chayra Moirid v'malchus does not need a decision of a bezin. It's up to the king, you know. The king is Memis u'mechaya. Do you need a Sanhedrin? I don't think so. So L'chayra Korach should have been killed as a Moirid v'malchus. But then I'm thinking to myself, he was killed. Maybe that's why he was killed. Maybe the reason why Korach was killed is because he was a Moirid v'malchus. But is that why he was killed? That Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Hashem, if he dies like a regular person, if he dies a natural death, you didn't send me. But if the earth opens up his mouth and swallows him, what do we need all the drama for? If he's a Moirid v'malchus, Moshe should have just gone ahead and killed Korach. That is the kasha of the Chassam Sofer. But I'm not going to start with the Chassam Sofer. Let's start with the following point.
Did Moshe consider himself?
If Hashem considered him a melech, it's not like, you know, you God consider me a king, but I don't consider myself, I mean, a king is a king. Now, if Moshe is a melech, could he be moisel on his kavoy? Melech shemochal al kavoydoi ein kavoyde mochal. So it's not like Moshe Rabbeinu has the authority to say, yeah, I'm the king, but just like, you know, I can let my kids sit in my chair, a melech cannot forego his honor. Melech shemachal kvoidoi ein kvoidoi machal. So if Moshe is a king, and he can't forego his honor, why wasn't Korach chayiv misa al tzmurid b'malchus? Interestingly, this is a question that is addressed by many of the poskim. Okay? And like David mentioned before the show, you can learn the parsha every year, and you think you basically know the storyline. And you hear a question, and you say, you know, how could it be? I never thought of that question. So the Ramban says in Parshas Bahaloscha that in a couple of weeks ago, there were these guys, Eldad and Medad. Eldad and Medad were half-brothers of Moshe and Aaron. And they were saying Nevuah. So Yeshua said, Adoini Moshe, kill them. So Ramban wants to know, why should we kill them? They're not going to be prophets. So Ramban says, because they were a Moira Halachotnei Rabbi. They were paskining in front of Moshe. You're not to offer a halachic conclusion before you're ready. So they're Chayiv Misa. So the question is, so why didn't Moshe in fact kill them? Says Ramban, Moshe Amar, ki hu harav, I'm the Rebbe. Machal al kvoidoi. And he was machal on his kavod. He's machal on his kavod. It's very nice, he's the Rebbe. And as Rebbe, you can be machal on his kavod. But as king, you can't be Moichel on your kavod. So what does the Ramban mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moichel on his kavod? Unless you say, to paskin in front of Moshe, it's not a challenge to the Malchus. A poisek could come in and paskin halacha in front of a melech. It's a challenge to Moshe's capacity as Rebbe. So it was never a question that they were insulting the Malchus. They were insulting his rabbinic position. So regarding the rabbinic position, he could be Meichel. But that's the question. Why wasn't Korach considered a Moirid b'Malchus? So let's start with Shal Shetshuva's Divrei Malkiel. The Divrei Malkiel is Rav Malkiel Tenenbaum, one of the great poskim of the 19th century. And he deals with the question, how is Hashem moichel us? We've discussed this many times. But Hashem's a king. And a king cannot forego his honor. In fact, remember the Gemara in Ksubis? The Gemara in Ksubis tells us a story on Daf Yud Zayin that Agrifas was traveling on the road and the Chassan and Kala were traveling and Agrifas deferred to the Chassan and Kala and they praised Agrifas. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Melech shemachal kvadein kvadei machal. So that shows a Melech is not allowed to forego his honor. You ready for the Chiddush of the Divrei Malkiel? When could a king not forego his honor? That's if his sovereignty is granted to him based on the consensus of the people. So the people say, Charles, you're our king. You know, God save the king. They proclaim Pliny the Melech. It's the consensus of the people. So if it's the consensus of the people, it's not his malchus. It doesn't belong to him. The people endowed him with the sovereignty. So it's not his to be moichel. It's actually insulting to the people who have crowned him. So therefore, melech shemachal agvadein kvadei malchus. But what if someone's malchus is inherent to them? They're so wise, they're so smart, they have so much nevuah, they have so much Torah, they have so much chachma. So then Torah delehi, it's his Torah, it's his greatness. If he wants to be Michael, he has the capacity to be Michael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be Michael us, and basically this doesn't fit in with anything we ever said, but it's okay. Right? We always say that Hashem cannot forgive the Goyim because he's the Melech. And a melech cannot forego his honor. That's what the Chiddush says. But this is a different way of looking at it. Ein beis hamedrash b'li chiddush. So he says, anytime the royalty is inherent, it's atzmius of the melech, then the melech could forego his honor. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu could forego his honor. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kulei alma dilehu, v'toira dilehu. Now we understand how in Parshas Yisroi, the Shper comes to visit Moshe Rabbeinu. And who's feeding Moshe Rabbeinu? Who's waiting on Yisroel? Who's the waiter? Moshe Rabbeinu is the waiter. He's standing. He's serving his father-in-law. How could the melech serve his father-in-law? He can't be moichel on his kavod. It must be the malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu is a different category. It's a different reality of malchus. It's a different quality of malchus. It's malchus that's inherent. So since it's inherent to Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore he could be moichel on his kavod. That explains the Ramban and Bahaloiska. How could Moshe Rabbeinu be Moichel Eldad and Medad? Granted, Moshe is a Melech. He's a full-fledged Melech. But his Malchus doesn't come from the people. It's inherent to his greatness. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu has the capacity to be Moichel. Therefore, concludes the Divrei Malkiel. Can a Rosh Hashiva be Moichel on his Kabbad? Yeah, absolutely. Rosh Hashiva could be Moichel on his Kabbad. Because even if he thinks he's as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, even if he wants to say he's a melech, the people didn't appoint him a melech. It depends. If the board appoints you a melech, so it depends if you have your own shul. If you're hired, you can't be melech on your covenant, because it's not yours. Someone gave it to you. But if it's yours, so you can be melech on your covenant. That's the conclusion of Divrei Malkiel. It depends where you get it from. If other people give it to you, you can't be Michael. If it's your own, you can be Michael.
After the mouth was worried to not be Michael, there's only an urge to scroll. I've got it.
Ah, good point. Let's come back to that. We're going to come back to that idea. Good idea. Hold on to that. So that's the first Mahalach. The reason why Korach was not admired by Malchus is Moshe Rabbeinu was Michael on his covenant. Meaning, really, Korach was Moirid b'Malchus. So why did Moshe kill him? He's Moichel. I Melech Shemachal HaKvoide Ein Kvoide Machel. That's a regular Melech, not the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Watch what happens. So I did this.
What? Do it.
So can my Korach, the Moshe, my spark.
at least he was moichel, not killing him. In other words, he wasn't happy. It says vayichal lemoishe ma'od, right? He's very upset, but at least he was moichel not to chop off his head. Okay, we're gonna develop this further. I came across an amazing tshuva in Rav Moshe. Actually, I will concede most of the Ma'ar Mekoymos of tonight's share come from the Sefer Chavetzelos HaSharon on Parshas Koirach and by Yeshev and by Yigash and Shemais. Rav Moshe has a very interesting tshuva. What's the halacha about how far do you have to stand? If you see a Sefer Torah, how long do you have to stand up? If it's in Dalet Amos, if it's 100 feet away, 1,000 feet away, a mile away, you have perfect vision. You could see, like, to China. You see a Sefer Torah. When are you allowed to sit down? So the Gemara says that they were gawking at Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, they're always looking at Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara brings two opinions. One is Lignai. They were nosying around. They were, you know, why he's coming early, he's coming late. What's he doing in the tent? Why is he leaving the house so early? Why he doesn't like his family? Or why does he spend so much time with his family, the Gemara says. Either way, they always gave him a hard time. Or l'shvach, meaning they kept on standing. For a chacham, you have to stand up in their dalet amos. For an avbezdin, as far as you could see. Once he goes past dalet amos, you could sit. A nasi, you stand and stand and stand and stand until the nasi gets to his spot. What's the raya? The raya is from Moshe Rabbeinu. They're always gazing at Moshe Rabbeinu because they couldn't sit down as long as Moshe was not in his place. Comes the Ketzav Mishnah, and the Ketzav Mishnah says, the Rambam paskins that a Sefer Torah, as long as it's on en route, you got to stand. It's 20 feet away, 50 feet away, a million miles away. You have a telescope, you see a Sefer Torah, it's flying to the moon, you got to stand up until the Sefer Torah gets to its spot. So the Ketzav Mishnah wants to know, how does the Rambam know that a Sefer Torah you have to stand up for forever and ever and ever? So says the Ketzav Mishnah, he learns it out from the Nasi, that just like they stood up for just like you have to stand up for Moshe Rabbeinu until he got to his place. And the Gemara says, why did they stand up for Moshe until he got to his place? Because he's the Nasi. So just like you have to stand up for Moshe Rabbeinu until he gets to his place, you got to stand up for a Sefer Torah until he gets to his place. Says Rav Moshe, just because you have to stand up for a Nasi, why does that mean you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah? What's the connection between a Nasi and a Sefer Torah? Says Rav Moshe, because why do you have to stand up for a Nasi? Which Nasi are we talking about? We're talking about Moshe. So why would the Klal Yisrael have to stand up for Moshe? Not because he was a Nasi, because he's a Rebbe. So if you have to stand up for a Rebbe who teaches you Torah, all the more so you need to stand up for the Torah itself. But Frecht with Moshe, what are you talking about? Maybe they stood up for Moshe not because he's a Rebbe, because he's a Nasi. And more than that, he's a Melech. So you're going to learn, maybe really you don't have to stand up for a Rebbe forever and ever. Only the Melech. Listen carefully. Says Rav Moshe, even though Moshe was a melech, why nimsa shahayachiv l'chol Yisrael lehisnaig b'Moshe b'din melech l'shum daba. We don't find the Jewish people ever had to accord themselves to Moshe as a king. Af loy la'onshin dehamra al tziva melech. For instance, to rebel against the king, Klal Yisrael was never accountable for rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Moshe writes, Arachayim Chilakeis Min Lamenchesiv Katan Gimel, that you know how we know you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah? Because they stood up for Moshe. And if you have to stand up for a Rebbe, you have to stand up for the Torah itself. I, Moshe, was a Melech? Nah. Says Rav Moshe, we don't find anywhere that Moshe had the status of a Melech for anything, especially not for rebelling against him. And Rav Moshe doesn't explain. But all he says is, we don't find anywhere that Moshe had the status of a melech, that if you rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, then you're a Moir B'malkus. And this, of course, would answer the question. In other words, why did a Moshe kill Korach? He's a Moir B'malkus. he's a figurehead, but he didn't have the halakhic status of a melech that there's a din of moirid b'mafas. Rav Moshe doesn't really explain why. So now I want to bring to your attention the amazing Shuvah of Samsa.
Kind of, it should be Miriam Duke. She said, "Rosh an Ara Tamasher."
Let's say that you're the old. Let's say you're a king, and your older sister comes and says, "You're a king." Well, she's a Moirid b'mafas. You know.
Caesar would have killed us.
You ready? Listen to the Sam Sofer. Sam Sofer writes in Archaim Siman Reish Ches, this is one of the most famous Tshuvas in the Sam Sofer. Tshuva 208, he wrote this to the Maritz Chiyas. Says, we don't find in the whole Chumash that Moshe as a melech had the right to kill anyone. Do we find anywhere in the Midbar Moshe killing anyone? David knocked off some people. Shlomo knocked off some. Every Jewish king knocked off. Yet, Moshe didn't kill anyone. Now, how do you know a king has authority? We learn it out from Soim Tosim Alecha Melech. But that just means that the king's authority and fear has to be on the people. But it doesn't mean, it doesn't say a king could kill someone. How do you know a king could kill someone? We find in Sefer Yehoshua that the people said to Yehoshua, anyone who rebels against you, you could kill. Interesting. It doesn't say Hashem said to Yeshua that Yeshua, if you want to kill someone, you could kill them. We find the people said to Yeshua, anyone who rebels against you, you could kill. What, the people are telling Yeshua that he's allowed to kill them? Says Aksam Sofer, I don't understand. It's true, we know from the Gemara, a king's allowed to kill someone. But where does that halacha come from? Elamai Yehoshua was mechadish. We know that a navi is not allowed to innovate anything that's not in the chumash. Ein navi rashal chadish davar. Says of some sefer, zehu kusha shetzorach iyan gadol. The tzorach iyan. How do we know a king has the authority to kill? I never knew an answer to this question. Says of some sefer until I saw the Ramban in Bechukosai. The pasuk says kol cherem. Asher yacharam min ha'adam lo yipade mois yumas. So we had this in the Ksubis, many drushas, kol chirim, asher yacharam min ha'adam lo yipade mois yumas. But the Ramban says it means that kol chirim, that if the king or if the Jewish people agree to create a strict prohibition, if anyone violates it, they're chayiv misa. You hear? There's a famous Ramban that the people call cherem, any ban, asher yacharam, that is banned, min ha'adam, from man, lo yipada, you can't get out of it, mois yumas. In other words, the Torah is giving authority either to the king or to the consensus of the society to say, look, you know, we got to keep society in check. If anybody does X, Y, and Z, then they're stepping out of line, we're going to kill them. So that means the people could gather together and convene and place a ban, or the king could place a ban. That's a pasuk in Bechukosai. Says Chassam Sofer, that's the source that a king could kill someone who rebels against him. Because if the king decides that if somebody violates his will, that there's a ban on that, then the king could execute the person. But says the Chassam Sofer, in the times of Moshe, it was never the decision of the people or even the king that if someone violates the command of the king, that's banned, and that's liable to the death penalty. In other words, the pasuk authorizes that if a king would decide to ban those who violate his will, he has authority to kill. But that ban was never placed until Yehoshua Paragala. Meaning, in theory, the king, a Moirid B'Malchus is Chayiv Misa. In other words, what's the source, Moirid B'Malchus is Chayiv Misa? From the fact that Hashem endows the society or the king, that if they choose to ban a particular mode of behavior, they can. In the times of Yeshua, they banned Moirid B'Malchus. But they never banned it in the times of Moshe. So it's not, don't ask, oh, Kairach is Moirid B'Malchus. So what if he's Moirid B'Malchus? Yeah, but Mar Malchus Chayiv Misa. What's the source of Mar Malchus Chayiv Misa? Mar Malchus Chayiv Misa, because a king has the right to label rebellion as a ban. But the king never did that yet. Not until Yahushua was it legislated that violating the will of the king is a cheran. Sometimes a Moshe. It's not that Moshe was Moishel. Moshe wasn't Moichel. Moshe could have said to Korach, I'm not Moichel you. But Moshe wasn't allowed to kill him because he never exercised the authority given to him through the pasuk of Kol Cheir Moshe Rechemin Adam. In times of Yeshua, they did exercise it.
Yeshua kiss it.
Yes.
Or to summon him, Paul, was there in Mashal, in the Holy God, about it, maybe, and Paul Baal. So, why is it so much higher to do a thing that were that we would, in other words, it was looked down, or it's frowned upon by don't make the thing. So how do I deal with Shmuel?
We can't hear the questions or comments.
They can't hear. Rabbi Yossi Badner is asking, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef Badner is asking that if there was a melucha already in time of Moshe Rabbeinu, then the melucha dates back well before David HaMelech. So why are the Jewish people punished for making Shaul a king? This has been kings were as old as the hills. And, you know, to add, we've said in the past, Avraham Avinu was a king, Yaakov was a king. Part of the answer is because of the way that they asked that, you know, they wanted a king, Kachal Hagoyim. They wanted a king in the manner of the Gentiles. But the concept of Melucha always existed, like we say. Now, according to Rav Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't really a king, so maybe the institution of Malchus was not at capacity yet. But according to, let's say, the Chassam Sofer, that Moshe was a full-fledged king. It's just he couldn't kill because he never exercised the authority of Kol Cheir Masher Yacharam. So then, yeah, you have to try to understand. So what exactly, was David HaMelech really the first king? Okay, now it gets really geschmack. Okay, ready for the... So far, in terms of why is Korach not a murid by Malchus? So at first we said, I don't know, maybe he was, and then maybe that's why he died. But the Poskim don't say that. Divrei Malkiel says, because Moshe's Malchus was inherent, therefore he had the authority to be Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zerusalem Lebracha, says, Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't find he was considered halachically a melech. The Chassam Sofer says, the right of a melech to kill a rebel emanates from a certain authority they have, but Moshe, it was never exercised until the times of Yehoshua. You ready for the following question? This is out of this room.
Korach wasn't killed because of his...
Why was he killed? So that means what? Yeah, I mean, they're part of his team. They're part of his team.
I should the way Korach did, I mean...
If somebody comes to challenge a king with 200 guys standing behind him, you know? Yeah. What are they doing there? They should go home.
Supporting it, but they're not...
They're supporting... Exactly.
When they were all martyred, I'm not about that. Was it just cut?
You ready for this question? This is a question of Shalos HaTshuvos Chikrei Lev. The Shalos HaTshuvos Chikrei Lev was Rav Yosef Chazan. Rav Yosef Chazan is the grandfather of Rav Chaim Falaji. Okay? I found his kever on Har HaZeisim. TorahAnytime.com. Watch it tonight. Oya Menorah. Found the kever of Rav Chaim Falaji, of Rav Yosef Chazan. Here's this, an amazing question. There's a lav in the Torah, Elohim loy tikalel. V'nosi v'amcha loy sa'ar. You know how to curse a king. What if you curse a king? Lav sheyesh by maisa or ein by maisa? A klal is considered a maisa, even though it's dibor, okay? So Rambam passes, you get malchus. Frekt Rav Yosef Chazan. Why do you get malchus? But you're married with malchus. So you chayiv misa. say Kimle b'derabamine. Yeah? Good kasha? You know, Kimle b'derabamine, in other words, when there are two punishments, we're going to nail you with the stricter one. It's going to exempt you from the more lenient one. So you curse the king. Do you agree? Even you have a very sympathetic viewpoint to rebels, right? But would you agree? Would you agree that someone who curses the king is a Mar B'Machus? Should he die? Yeah. So why do we give him Malchus? He's Chayiv Misa. So since he's Chayiv Misa, that should exempt him from Malchus. So the Chikrei Lev gives two answers. The Chikrei Lev says that actually in the times that the Beis HaMikdash stood, so then there were kings, and we could give the death penalty, and therefore you're exempt from Malchus. But after the Churban, we can't give death penalty. So we can't give the death penalty, we could give Malchus. The halacha that you get Malchus is only Bizman Hazeh. But then he gives another answer. This answer is out of this world. Look at number 13. Says the Rambam, Kol ha-moyreid b'melech Yisrael, yesh le-melech reshus le-hargai. Anyone who rebels against the king has the authority to kill him. Afilu gazar al-echad mishara am sheyach le-makam pleni. The king says, go to such and such place, v'loy halach, if he didn't go. Ayshala yatsa mi beisai, or don't leave your house, v'yatsa chayim misa. V'imratza le-hargai, Yehareg, Shenemar, Kolish Asher Yamras Picha. Bechin Hamavazes Amelch, I am a Farkai, I'm a Harfai. Yesh Lamelch Rishus Lahargai. Yeah, Bechin Lamelch Rishus Largel of Besayev.
Shusuk Thayer. And you
says the Chikrei Lev. The Rambam doesn't say that he's liable to the death penalty. The Rambam says the king is allowed. He has discretion to kill him. Ay, melech shemacha kvoidoi ein kvoidoi machal. He can't forgo his honor. He can't forgo his honor. So he could say, what are you doing? And punish him. But he doesn't have to kill him. You're not to forgo your honor. But it doesn't mean you're obligated to kill the guy. There's a difference between, let's say someone insults you. So you could be moichal in your kavod. Or you cannot be moichal on your covet. Say, why'd you do that to me? But doesn't just because you're not moichal on your covet doesn't mean you have to kill the guy. If every time you weren't moichal on the covet, you'd kill the guy, this would not be a very pleasant place to be. So the lashon of the Rambam is that you're not chayiv misa, by the way, even though he does throw in there chayiv misa. But the Rambam doesn't say you're obligated to be killed. The Rambam says you're allowed to kill the person. So says the Chikrei Lev, since it's not a chiv, it's only a reshus. And therefore it's only a safek misa. It's not going to pater Malchus. So the lashon of the Chikrei Lev is, what do you mean? He should be exempt from Malchus because he's liable to the death penalty, but he might not get killed. So ein safek misa pater vadei Malchus. But the Sam Sofer says a little differently. Sam Sofer says, and I never saw Sam Sofer use this lesson before. This is in a tshuva in Eben Ezra Siman Kuf Nun Aleph. Sam Sofer writes, I'm novuch about the following issue. I'm confused about the following issue. The issue is, we know that if somebody is in a machteras, you know, b'machtera, somebody is digging a hole to steal money at night. So we know that if you're digging a hole to steal money, you know the owner is going to stand up to protect his money, which means you're coming to kill the guy, which means he's allowed to kill you. Which means if you do damage in the interim, you're putter. Because since you could be killed by the guy, so that means you're Chayiv Misa, so we say Kimle B'Derabimine, and you don't have to pay that mama, right? It's a famous rule. Says Chassam Sofer, even though going in a machteras exempts you from monetary payment, but the fact that a king has the right to kill you does not, because it's only he has a right to, he doesn't have to. So it's something we empower him to do if he would like to, Or maybe, says the Chassam Sofer, maybe it's not a Rishus. Maybe he has to do it. Which I don't know how the Chassam Sofer would read the Rambam, because the Lashon of the Rambam is clear that it's Rishus, but the Chassam Sofer is, he starts off saying, L'chora yesh l'haychiyak tzas, t'chiyuv misa l'malachim eno b'chal kimle, b'ra minei, l'potimam, m'nei she'enon b'chal chiyuv misa s'bezdin, v'gora me'habobim akhteras. And then it says, well, maybe yesham the chiyuv misa, d'malchus habikashar chayov misa s'bezdin. I, why are you putter from mamon? For a different reason. Says the Chassam Sofer, adayin ani novuch, could the king be moichel his right to kill? He says, even though melech shemachlal kvoidoi, his covet is not machol, you're allowed. So maybe the king cannot over, he cannot forego his honor, but he could say, I don't want to kill you. Because the proof is, says Chassam Sofer, wasn't David moichel, that even though he was supposed to kill Shimi ben Gera, he didn't kill him. So we see a king has a right to be moichel in his kavod and not to kill someone who's married by malchus. But then Chassam Sofer says, well, maybe it's not a raya from Shimi ben Gera. Because at the end of the day, he told Shlomo, make sure you kill him. So even though he just deferred, he wasn't really moichel, he just pushed it off. The bottom line is, what? Right. But here it's the melech, the right of the melech. So if you take the sad that the melech is, it's a reshus for the melech to kill, so then it's not that Moshe was moichel on Korach, it's not that Moshe was moichel Korach, it's Moshe's not obligated to kill Korach. So he didn't. And if you ask, why didn't he? Do you think it would have been a good move to kill Korach? Here Korach is saying, hey, Moshe Rabbeinu, is the your whole institute, it's the whole game is corrupt. Your brothers, there's the Kohen Gadol. Your brother's kids are the assistant Kohen Gadol. Your first cousin is the Nasi. Every single job is an in-house job. Every single appointment. You didn't even try to bring in an outsider to make it look like, you know, like in some places, it's like 90% family with a few people sprinkled in so that you don't think it's family. You didn't even sprinkle in the decoy. You know? There's no decoy over here. Every single guy, the same last name. The day is one after another, the same last name. So Moshe's going to kill him now? How's that going to look? Much better off in the long run, have God take care of Korah than Moshe take care. Again, if he's obligated to knock him off, then what, you know, but it's not that Moshe's Moichel. In other words, let's go through the answers. The question was, is Korach a Moir b'Malchus? So the Divrei Malkiel says, Moshe has the right to be Moichel because the Malchus is inherent. Rav Moshe says, Moshe never had the halachic status of a Melech. Chassam Sofer said that the right for a Melech to kill emanates if there's a consensus. That consensus, either of the king of the society, was never made yet. But now we're saying that the ability for the king to kill is only reshus, it's not obligatory. And the Chassam Sofer is not sure about it. I want to share with you something amazing. The Briska Rav in Sefer Shmuel brings from Rashi that Kol Hamoyred B'Malchus Beis David Chayiv Misa. Okay? And he says, what do you mean, Kol HaMoyred B'Malchus Beis David? Moyred B'Malchus is Chayiv Misa. Why? The emphasis on Malchus Beis David. So he says, no, there's a difference between Moyred B'Malchus Beis David and Moyred B'Malchus. If you rebel against Malchus Beis David, you're liable to the death penalty. You're Chayiv Misa. Bezdin will kill you. And if Bezdin kills you, we'll say Kimle B'Dirabamine. It's a real inherent chiyuv misa. As opposed to if you're just moired b'malchus, the king has the reshus to kill you. There are two separate halachos. There's kol hamoired b'malchus beis David Tayiv Misa. And then there's Moir B'Malchus, the king has the authority to kill you. By the way, the Chassam Sofer says, not everyone who rebels against the king is Moir B'Malchus based David, even if the king is from David. If somebody just doesn't listen to the king, it's not Moir B'Malchus based David. He's a rebel. In other words, let's say somebody doesn't listen to David HaMelech. Let's say Shimi Ben Gera. Shimi Ben Gera wasn't Moir B'Malchus based David. He just cursed David. He said, David, you shouldn't be the king. But he's not rebelling against the institution of the Davidic dynasty. He's just challenging this person's particular power. He's not arguing that Malchus should come from this family. But the Brisker Rav says that in general, there are two distinct dinim. The din of Moir B'Malchus is any main leader of the Jewish people, if you rebel, they can take your life. And they could, by the way, they take your life only by the sword. The king can only kill through the sword. But Moir B'Malchus based David, Stam, Chayiv Misa.
Can you point the difference between Moir Malchus, Moir B'Malchus based David? What exactly? What's the differentiation?
The differentiation is if someone's challenging the right of this family to place kings in the Jewish people, that's more of a mafos based of it. In other words, I'm not listening to you. If the king says, get me apple juice, and you don't get him apple juice, so you're rebelling against this particular king. You're not rebelling against the institution of the Davidic Malchus. In other words, somebody who says that the family of David has no right to keep on placing kings into Klal Yisrael. They're challenging the right of this family to appoint kings. Then they're Moir B'Malchus Beis David. Moir B'Malchus Beis David, they're liable to the death penalty. But if someone just challenging this particular king, he doesn't like this king, so he doesn't listen to this king, then that's just Murad B'Malchus, and that it's up to the king himself to kill.
No, that you met Oshay, Minasua, Dol, Anat, and he's...
Simply, Moshe Rabbeinu was just a melech. And in that case, those who rebel are not Hayav Misa, but Moshe has the authority to take the light. We did once say the possibility that Moshe Rabbeinu may have had a din of Malchus Beis David because he encompasses all of Klal Yisrael. He encompasses all the Shvatim, that's how he could be Mashiach. So, simply, you would think he's just a Melech. There might be a possibility that he could assume the role of Malchus Beis David.
First of David, that's the Bukhari. That he was his first, even the first anger of Menai Yisrael.
First in a while, yeah. As after Bukhar etneu. I'm going to come back to the point that you made before. On the mitzvah of appointing a king, the Menachas Chinuch says that anyone who rebels against the king has rishus to kill them. Again, the same kind of lashon that it's rishus. The Menachas Chinuch says that's masha, he's not obligated. Even though Melech Shemach Lekvodei Einoi Machol, but you could forego killing the person. Says the Minchas Chinuch, the mitzvah of appointing kings is only when the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael. So based on that, Rabbi Yitz wanted to say before that if the whole, it seems like from the Minchas Chinuch, that the halacha of honoring a king emanates from the mitzvah of appointing a king. It's not two mitzvahs. You have a mitzvah to appoint a king, and you have a mitzvah to honor the king. The mitzvah of honoring the king is a subset of appointing the king. Since the mitzvah of appointment is only in the land of Israel, the mitzvah of honor and the king's right to kill is also only in Eretz Yisrael. And the Hafla explains as follow. The Sefer HaMakna on Kedushin Lamed Beis Lamed Beis says as follows. By the way, he says something also very interesting. He says, you know, if you see a Jewish king, you say, Asher Chalak Mekvoidoi Lebasar Badam, or Liyareyav.
You say it by the Jewish king.
What?
Say it by.
Yeah. When,
Recording in progress.
Okay. The Hamakna says a very interesting idea. You ready for this idea? The Hamakna says, why is it that by a Jewish king, you say, Cholak mikavoidoi le'ireyav, or le'basar adam, and by a Melech Akum, you say, Shenosan. So the Makna says that by a Gentile king, God just gives them the king. So God just gives them Malchus. So since God gives it to them, he says, here, take the Malchus, I have nothing to do with it. So therefore, the halacha is a Gentile king could be Moichel on his covet because it's given to him. A Jewish king cannot be Moichel on his covet because God doesn't give it to the Jewish king. God endows them with his Malchus, so it's shared. So therefore, a Jewish king can't be Moichel because he's sort of using it together with HaKadosh Baruch. That being said, from where do we learn that a king has the right to kill? Soim tasim alecha mela. You should surely put the king upon you. Shetehe emasei olav, that his fear should be on you. So says HaMakna, what does that mean, that his fear should be on you? There's a mitzvah that you have to appoint a king. So how do you appoint a king? He was appointed. Now, 50 years later, the mitzvah is no longer extant. It means every single moment you should have the awe of the king on you so that there's never a moment that his appointment doesn't last. If there's ever a moment that he's moichel on his kavod, then he's not being appointed at that moment. So the Hamakna says that since the mitzvah of honoring the king and the king's ability to kill emanates from the king needs to be constantly in a state that he's appointed. We know the mitzvah of appointment is only in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz Aretz, there's no mitzvah of appointment. In that case, that explains how Moshe was able to serve Yisroi, the Makna says, because that was in the Midbar. And in the Midbar, the mitzvah of Soim Tasim Alecha Melech is not in effect, because basically, the honor of the king is so that every moment people could look at the king and say, he's upon me. But in Chutz La'aretz, there is no mitzvah to place him in the first place, so the mitzvah that he should be upon you also does not continue. And that explains how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to serve Yisroi. And based on that, I saw in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, similar to what we said in Minchas Chinuch, that Moshe Rabbeinu would not have the authority to kill Korach in the Midbar because it's not in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, so just the executive summary is as follows. Was Korach amarid b'malchus? Either the Divrei Malkiel says that Moshe could be Moichel on his covet because his Malchus belonged to him, or Moshe said Moshe really never had the authority of Melech. Maybe the reason is, like we just said from the Hamakna, because it was in Chutz La'aretz. The Chassam Sofer says the ability of a king to kill emanates from the consensus that was never exercised yet. And we saw that the Pikrei Leif says that perhaps that it's only Rishus for the Melech to kill. So it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moichel, it's that he never took up that possibility. And then there's the idea that it was in Chutz La'aretz and therefore Soim Tasim Alecha Melech did not apply. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, thanks everybody for joining. Bracha v'hatzlacha.
Recording stopped.
Thing appointed, but it's going to spot.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.